Hello again and welcome back. And this week we're carrying on from where we left off last week, discussing the kingdom within. If the kingdom is within us, why we feel like it's so far away? Or what are the obstacles? What are the kind of things that get in the way of us actually coming into living like the kingdom is within us? Could it be that the reason why we don't actually live like the kingdom is within us is because of the way we think? Do we have to work on our minds? Do we have to do a renewing, a mindset change? I think last week when we left off, I was a little bit like, ah, I still feel like there's something more that we need to do. I still feel like there's a performance required. And, you know, and Ely was just insistent on the fact that, you know, this, we don't have to do anything. And it's a behavioral construct. And, so this week, but I mean, in the process of the last few days, or, you know, I think I've been thinking about things from different perspectives. And I think that some of the things that really affect us being able to embrace in totality what Christ means for us, you know, his coming, his dying, his resurrection, and the life that he wants us to lead by the Spirit. I think one of the things that continues to inhibit us is the fact that we feel like, and I might be wrong in saying this, maybe I'm speaking for myself and not everyone, but I think that we feel that we have this sort of mandate to protect God's interest and ensure that there's no state of anarchy. So you want people to behave a certain way, structure, so that, you know, this is what defines you, whom the Holy Spirit is manifesting through. And but those things can easily become a traditional set of rules if we're not careful, I guess. And I guess that's where my mind is at the moment, you know. And since what we do in this forum is we question the beliefs that have held us bound for too long, that have slowly become toxic to our Christian walk, and it restrains us. And, you know, where we should be living a life of surrender, we find that we're constantly striving, and it just leaves us exhausted. It leaves us a little bit tired, doesn't it?
Yeah. Just listening to you, one of the things that came to mind was the scriptures where it says that your transformation will come by the renewing of your mind. So you know, it was saying be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the work that needs to happen. The work that needs to happen is not the working out for God, or you know, like how you're trying to work out for God, because a lot of people talk about working out your salvation, and then, you know, but then it's actually letting God work through you, because in the same vein, it says is the Spirit in you that wills in you, and it brings you even into the point of doing of God's good pleasure. So I think that I get it when, you know, a lot of people still feel like there is something that you should do. I mean, the whole point of believing in God is that, isn't that some sort of doing? Like when you say, oh, I believe God, isn't that something you're doing? Or perhaps when you confess God, is, you know, and you say, oh, I am, this is what God has done for me, or this is how I see God, isn't that something that you are doing? And I think that the whole point of, you know, challenging that is because I think a lot of the things we associate with you know, God working in us or God working through us, they are interpretations that we see. So, I mean, Jesus said the wind blows where it lists. You don't see the wind.
Where it comes from or where it's going.
You don't see where it's going, but you see its effect.
Yeah.
And I think that what has happened is, depending on the knowledge that you have about God or your beliefs, when you see effects, you're probably going to say, oh, God is the one behind that. So for instance, say, if you believe the God, you know, I don't know, the God in the Old Testament, for instance, and I don't mean that the God in the Old Testament is not the same as the God in the New Testament. I think that there is, what we see is a discovery and the story of God. And the people's perception.
From the lens of men.
Yes.
Yeah.
And people's perception of it. So I can't, is somebody can say the glass is half full, and then another person says is you know, is halfway down. Okay. So it's all people's expression mm-hmm. of God. So mm-hmm. I'm not going to trivialize that, or yeah. I'm not going to downplay mm-hmm. people's expressions of God. Not one. But what I'm trying to say is that when you know God as Father, mm-hmm. when you know God as Father, it does something inside of you. And what it does inside of you is that it gives you the assurance to just be, you know, like a child.
Okay.
And when you're a child, it means that you can learn. Mm-hmm. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
When you're a child, it means that you can make mistakes.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, you who being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more your Father, which is in heaven. Although I think that he was actually speaking to something else there, but he did say that. Mm-hmm. So it means that there is a mindset that Jesus wants us to get into, mm-hmm. which is the mindset of a child and a father relationship.
Right.
And so when Jesus was saying that when I go, I will send you the Holy Spirit, and he was saying that whatever you ask in my name will be done to you, and actually that's what he was speaking to. He wasn't saying so that when you're praying, you say in Jesus' name. He's saying that because you're going to be a part of me now, it's like your name is changed. It's like everything about you is changed. Whatever you're asking from your changed position is going to be given to you. Mm-hmm. But do you get what I mean?
We've made it literal.
We've made it literal.
I guess it was more for the understanding of, you know, there's been the historical impact of the Bible as perceived. You know, let's not forget that it's coming from a time where people did not have access to this word. They had to, the scriptures had to be made kind of literal for them to get a grasp of it. That was the understanding then. I suppose it's taken quite a while for people to understand what it means that the Spirit of Truth has been given to us. But I think that for a while and a long time, the understanding was that there was certain persons mm-hmm. that would have the capability to tap into what the scriptures meant, and they could tell you the mind of God. We didn't always have that approach. So when you know, the Bible is literally, when we say that we have to pray in Jesus' name, like if you're telling a child, you know, that, oh, you know, because you've got Jesus inside of you, you know, when we ask for something, we ask in his name. It's just to kind of make it easy to understand.
Yeah, I totally understand what you're saying. What I wouldn't do is fan the unbelief systems mm-hmm. that we have put in place mm-hmm. or the systems that we've put in place that is the opposite of the truth, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For instance, one, God never wanted one person. He wanted the entire of Israel. So if you kind of read through the book of Exodus, right? Mm-hmm. He wanted the entire of Israel. Israel was the one that said, we don't want this God. So Moses, you go. So if Moses then started some sort of, you know, like leaders and followers kind of conversation.
They didn't want God. They said they were afraid.
Yeah, but that's the point. You were afraid. You didn't want to go up to the mountain to meet him.
Because they didn't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So if a group of people didn't want God.
They didn't know God.
They didn't want him either.
Because they were afraid of him. They know that they didn't want him.
Yeah.
I think it's different.
I understand. But you know what? Just potato, potato, right?
Okay.
God is saying, all of you come up the mountain.
Right.
They've seen everything that happened in Egypt.
Right.
And they're saying, no, I don't think we're worthy of this God. You go for us. They made a statement there. And the statement they made, you can say that they didn't know the truth about God, which is true. But it was also a process they put in place for themselves. Moses, you go speak for us.
Because Moses had always been the mediator.
Yeah, but that wasn't the intention of God.
But that's how God came to them.
How did God always was with them? Mm. Because they were of the seed of Abraham. God always had a plan for them. He told Abraham in Genesis, he said, your people are going to go into into slavery. And after these lots of years, they're going to be out.
So that God, got lost in translation because there had been loads of generations that had come and gone. And the people that were now there perhaps were in the belief system. If we're talking about culture, they were then in the Egyptian belief system, which might have watered down their concept of God.
Yeah.
And this is why God needed. That's why he came to them through Moses.
Okay. You know what? You know what you're missing?
Okay.
Because I'm not talking about God coming to Moses. I'm talking about what God's heart is.
Okay.
And I'm talking about the heart of men. The heart of men towards God is that, God, you stay your distance, I stay my distance. And that probably could be because we have this knowledge of God that is that, do you know if I link it up, if you let me just
finish
my kind of thought.
Okay. Yeah?
Because I can link it up to what is happening even today
now
on why we do not accept that the kingdom is within.
Okay.
The reason Moses led the children of Israel is a different thing when God sends Moses to Israel, to Egypt, to say, get my children out of Egypt.
Yeah.
And he says, let them all come to the mountain and let them all come and worship. He didn't say that, oh, Moses, I want you to keep being the leader for them. He didn't say that. When God invited them all to the mountain, they said that, Moses, you go speak for us. So the people themselves, and when you even think about when they wanted a king, God didn't want a king for Israel. Mm-hmm. They said, you appoint to us a king. What I'm trying to say is I'm talking about how we as human, we keep putting systems in place. We keep requesting systems when God himself is not the one asking for it. They said, oh, give us a king. They got a king. They said, oh, no, give us judges. They were the ones that kept, even when you look at Moses, when Moses was leading Israel, mm-hmm. and Jethro, his father-in-law, came to him. He said, oh, Moses, you're going to die doing all this by yourself. Why don't you appoint leaders?
Mm-hmm.
These are human systems that we have in place.
Mm-hmm.
And today in the church, the same is happening. You have pastors who stand as Moses. You have leaders who stand as the elders that are appointed, because it feels like God has a gap between people and man.
Okay.
But what God is always asked for is, come here, come in to me. Let me and you stay together. Abide in me.
Okay. So what then inspires the state of the heart of man in that way? Because if indeed,
yeah.
If indeed the problem, so to speak, lies with God's children not wanting to come into God's embrace, what inspires, because if we're born into him, and we reside in him and his life, we are God's, we've got God's DNA,
mm-hmm.
right, inside of us. What then, I mean, I'm asking you the kind of question that is coming up, that will pop up in my mind straight away when,
mm-hmm.
you know, you give me that scenario that God said to them, come up to the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, let somebody else go for us. I'm seeing it like, okay, if this is a child, you know, maybe simplistic, sort of, but I'm seeing it as a child who doesn't know what to expect of his dad and is a bit concerned for whatever reason. Maybe they've seen, or maybe this child has seen more of the strict side of dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just putting in plain terms. And because they just see daddy as hard or strict,
mm-hmm.
it's just easier to be like, I'll deal with mom. I'm not sure I'm ready to deal with dad. But if dad really does want that child to see him in a way that he wants to come into embrace, dad would do something about it. Do you get what I mean? Because if we're putting the onus on the children and the hearts of men, what has inspired, we're talking about from time immemorial. So what has inspired that?
Okay.
And why does that have to come around? Because that is what needs turning around. That's what needs coming around.
The thing is, I cannot answer the question of what has inspired it. Because I think every human being, if put in a scenario, will probably have a different reaction.
Is it because of the fall of man?
well, I can't say it's because of the fall of man either. I can't say that. Because one thing that we know that isn't, that we know for sure, is that the knowledge of God and the truth about who God is was actually missing. Because when you go back to the conversation the serpent was having with the woman, it was did God say this? Mm-hmm. The woman said, oh yeah, God said it. Mm-hmm. It says, oh no, don't, no, God was actually lying. You're not going to die. And then the woman, he put a seed of doubt in her, put a seed of unbelief in her about the truth of who God is. And she dwelt in that. And then she gave the stuff to her husband. Mm-hmm. And when her husband ate the stuff, I'm not saying these are literal. These are literal things. I'm just saying after. When God came to see them, as he always did, they went into hiding. Because there is something about human nature that just
seems to have been birthed at that point of conversation with the serpent. It seems to have been birthed at that point.
Well, I don't know if it was birthed at that point because
we have no record of us having the difficulty to fellowship with.
This is the problem I have with Genesis. The problem I have with Genesis is that Genesis is speaking to mystery things in a poetic way of what has happened. But we think that Genesis is the beginning of things. And as long as we continue to think and believe that Genesis is the beginning of things, like God put man and woman in a garden and they were all happy and then the serpent came, as long as we continue to do that, you can as well believe the Yoruba myth story that talks about how the tortoise got his whatever back. Mm-hmm. Because it's trying to get you into some things, some understanding of things. If really you were upright, I'm just saying, and somebody came to you in the confidence of knowing, you know, God, and says, oh, did he say you shouldn't eat something? And you're like, oh yeah, he didn't. And then can the person convince you if your heart is made up? I think maybe what is presenting there is how malleable our hearts are. How very easily, you know, like deceived we were. And it's trying to help us see that we are vulnerable people because we can be deceived. Okay. Because it says the serpent deceived the woman.
Agreed. Yeah, we can be deceived.
So you cannot say the reason we had the fall was because she did something. She was made.
So if we can be deceived, and that's how she was made to believe it.
I construct at that time subject to deceit.
But if we also go by the fact that God made, and when he made man and woman, and it was done with it, he said they were good.
Yeah, the reason
and he said. So the reason and he said saying, everything was.
So this is. So this is
how we wanted it to be.
This is the problem, right? Shall I tell you what the problem is?
Go for it.
The real problem is if I asked you now to tell me the creation story, mm-hmm. you'll tell me Genesis chapter 1.
Yeah.
But that's not the creation story. That creation story speaks to something different. It speaks to life in God, life in Christ. For you to interpret it correctly.
So as to the creation story, what we do tell
them. Go find science. Maybe science will tell you the creation story.
If I asked you the creation story,
I'm just telling you, go find science, because science probably has better understanding of creation than what you're reading in your scripture.
Really? If I asked you,
I just creation told you. Story, I just told you.
So you would say that science.
Go find science. Science will tell you how things came to be. Perhaps the Big Bang would tell you how what
so
happened.
So is that what you believe the creation story to be?
This is not about me but and what I believe. I'm just telling you.
All right, okay.
That you can as well go ask science. What I'm trying to say is Genesis chapter 1. And Genesis, as we read it speaks to a different reality.
Okay, so
you already have a mindset that what that is telling you is telling you the story of the world and the beginning of all things.
Yes, we all operate on the information provided to us.
Yeah.
every single one of us.
Yeah.
And this world, and this earth as we have
and
it.
And how many times did you argue that the earth was probably less than a few thousand years old, only to find out it's
billion years old? I've never, incidentally, never had that argument because it's just not something I'm curious about.
Okay.
So I've never been bothered to argue about if the world is round or flat. I've never been bothered to argue about how old the world is or if there were dinosaurs. For me, it's just, it really doesn't hold that much for me. Mm-hmm. But I know for some people, it's proof of life, as they might.
Yeah, but,
what I'm saying is that the information,
yeah,
everyone operates on the information that they've had access to.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way every human being operates.
Yeah.
And so if the information that we have
mm-hmm.
is directed as Christians, mm-hmm. is been formatted to make us understand that this is the creation story, that is the information we'll go by.
That's it.
And I understand that you're saying that that could be different. Now,
what I'm saying to you is that what those things speak to, they're a different set of reality.
Okay, and that's what that's why I want to understand what the different set of reality is. So because this is how we start to break mindsets.
So the first mindset you need to break
mm-hmm.
is the fact that you always keep going, this must have happened after the fall. This happened after the fall. This happened after the fall,
right?
And I said to you that I may be totally wrong, so please feel free to call me out. I mean, there are lots of theologians. I say to you that the state Moses was delivering in Genesis was a realization state. So it's like when you're writing a report,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't narrating a story. It wasn't narrating history. It was writing a report.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a status report. That's what he was doing. So he was expressing the status report to express that there was a state of man that felt like it was a state that was falling and distant from what his creator wanted him to be at. He linked that to the story of the children of Adam and Eve. He linked that to Abraham and then linked that to Israel and how Israel was now in Egypt. Because the whole point of that story was to get Israel out of Egypt so that they can become the people that God wanted them to be.
And so we don't think then, just for conversation purposes, so are we now saying that we don't think that there was a state of man that was altered from what he was intended to be?
Well, I don't think that the story that we read is the story of the state of man and how he was altered.
Well, it is to an effect. Why? Because that's why we needed Jesus.
The problem...
Because something... There was... I don't know how else to explain my thought process. If everything was okay, why did we need Jesus? Why do we need the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, the problem you're having
is
that you think that Jesus came because everything wasn't okay. Okay?
Okay, so why did Jesus come?
That's the thing. You're thinking that Jesus coming was a reaction to something. But I've told you that the stories that we read in the Bible is not God's response to things. It's actually the story of God.
Okay, it is the story of God.
Yes.
It's not a reaction because God is present at the beginning, in the middle, at the end.
Yeah.
We're the ones who go through the process of time. Is always been, I mean, and that's probably something that our minds cannot conceive of.
Mm-hmm.
He is not held by time. However, if Jesus was not a reaction, there was a reason why. And that's, it's I don't think it's far-fetched to say that something required us to be reinstated to our initial status in God. Even if God had known that that's how it was always going to go, we that are going through the process of time, maybe God, when he formed us, maybe when he made us, maybe he had always known that there was going to be a disconnect. Okay, we don't tell it by the story of the Garden of Eden, or we don't tell it by the eating of the apple. But something separated us from the oneness that we had with him. He wanted to reinstate that. We didn't have that oneness. And it took years of mediating through prophets, mediating through judges, like you said, using kings as representatives of God. But there was something that inhibited us from being in who we are, our original status in God.
Okay. I really love the passion with you you're speaking. And honestly, I just want to laugh because I think that, you know, everything you're saying is just Sunday school again.
Okay.
Okay. And really, knowing God is not Sunday school. You are, I'll say this to you.
Okay.
You're going to a journey. You're going on a journey and you're going to a destination, right? Yeah. And then you start from perhaps the north going to the east, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then you start to say, actually, there is something that made me stay in the north. And then I'm journeying to the east. The conversation is not the fact that you're in the north. The conversation is that you're making your way to the east. When you say that there is something about us, like we are in God, and then we lost that, and then we go in. No, it's because there's something that makes you believe that God was somehow with us yesterday, and then somehow today is different, and then tomorrow is different. But the conversation here is not that at all. The conversation here is that when you say we are one with God,
yeah,
it's not a we were one with God. Mm-hmm. It's a we are one with God.
Right.
Because God cannot be east with was with us and now east with us and then will be with us.
I love that you yeah. can tell me no. what is not,
yeah.
but I'm still not getting what it is from you.
Yeah.
So that's
I'm not the
well,
one.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm not
when
the one to give you the answer of what is.
We're not.
This is why okay. you need to check what you're believing.
Okay.
Because what
so
you're
how do you check
me,
what you're believing?
Yeah. Jesus helped us with that. He said, God is Father to you.
Mm-hmm.
In John,
mm-hmm.
you can read it yourself.
Okay.
He said, when you have come into relationship with me,
yeah.
it says, sit down by the Father and ask him any questions you have and he will answer you.
Why did Jesus have to make, why did he have to make this point? Why did he have to come and readdress this point?
Yeah, because your mind and the belief your mind had for towards God was false.
Okay. Established.
Yeah, but we're
so
talking
that
to,
means no, therein lies my point.
There is no point there. You're
there
talking,
is a point.
No, no.
You're saying
talking,
that the mindset was false.
Yeah.
There was a time that the mind went false. If God was always with us, okay. Let me make it simple.
If you're blind,
if you're one with
yeah.
God,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You are God.
Mm-hmm.
You're one with God.
Yeah.
Are we then saying that the mind of God is false? When we say that, we needed Jesus to make us understand that our mindset had become false. By whatever reason, by whatever process, something happened and then our mindset was altered and it's become false. We're not seeing it the way Jesus had to come and reinterpret it to us.
I think the problem you're having is you're making the center of the story you and the fall of man. But the center of
it,
the story.
I don't think it's a problem,
no,
particularly because we understand. We understand that we understand that the walk of God, walk with God, is a process.
No,
so I don't think it's a problem.
I don't think.
I think it's a revelational state.
For you to also say that you understand that the work of God is a process is probably something that you also just believe from Sunday school. Because
well,
the work of
I
God,
don't think so.
The work of God, you can experience as a process.
Mm-hmm.
The work of God for God is settled and complete.
Yeah, but
so
it's
yeah,
still
so it's not,
it, it,
so
it, for
fact,
you to come.
Fact,
so
the fact that you encourage yourself that you're going through a process does not mean that the work of God is not settled and complete.
Okay, even though what God has done is perfected and is complete,
yeah,
there is a manifestation that takes place.
You're the one looking at tangibility. You're the one looking at that manifestation.
Maybe I'm looking at that because
yeah.
I'm a human being,
yeah.
and for me to come into realization of that, I perhaps maybe need some of, when Jesus came, when he rose from dead and he appeared to Thomas, he said, okay, you needed to see
mm-hmm.
that you needed this.
Mm-hmm.
You needed to see the holes in my hand
mm-hmm.
for you to know that mm-hmm. this actually happened.
Oh.
That's what you needed. And I'm going to give you that. That's my understanding of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe even as a father, Jesus introduced God to us as a father. Even as a father knows all his children. So you might not need any process of time for the manifestation or the tangibility to come into place. And that is not a problem. Mm-hmm. If I need it, it's not a problem either.
I never said it was a problem.
No, that's the thing,
no,
though.
I never said it was a problem.
We're saying that the problem...
I never said it was a problem. I never said it was a problem. I said that the problem I'm having right now is that some of the things that you believe... So it's like when you say that, oh, I need to know. And then you make that like a standard, like everyone needs to know. Some people don't need to know.
Okay.
And the same thing with the expectations we have of each other.
Right.
Some people don't have that expectation. And that's what I'm trying to explain to you. The story we read in the scriptures is the story of the Jews, right? Are you saying that God never had a movement among the Gentiles? The history we read, are we saying what was true for the Jews was the same thing that was true for the Gentiles? We don't know that. Our belief cannot just be based on the stories of the Jew, but we can see the lapses in the relationships that the Jews had. God said to them, come up to the mountain, every one of you, children, blah, blah, blah. They did everything. Let's sanctify ourselves first before we go. Oh, they sanctified themselves. That wasn't enough. They fasted. They did all of that. That wasn't enough. Okay, no, you know what, Moses, we really cannot go. We don't want to go up theater. We don't want to do that with you. They were the one that decided it. They put all those structures in place. They put all the things that made them blind, that they couldn't see the essence of God. They put that in place. Somebody can say, oh, Moses put it in place for them. Yes, we know Moses put it in place for them because when Jesus came, he said, Moses said, I say. Now, the story that we read was about the promise of liberation and the blessedness of the whole world. That's where you and me come in. That the promise that God made that in his seed, we will all be blessed has happened. That the blessing, the promise God gave us was not just a promise of restoration. He didn't promise us that. Go back to Abraham and go and see what God said to Abraham. He said, in blessing, I will bless you. Through your seed, the entire world will be blessed. He was pronouncing how his life was going to be the source of, you know, the blessedness for the entire world because he's the source. But when we got into it, the conversation became very religious minded because God was distant from people. And people were not deserving and were unworthy to get to God. That was them. That was them.
I agree with your standpoint.
Yeah.
I can see your standpoint.
Yeah.
And I can lean into your standpoint.
Yeah.
But I'm having a difficulty here.
Okay.
Right. Okay. We're talking about a mindset.
Yeah.
That has put us in a position where we are unable, which somehow has held us bound.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're striving and we ought not strive.
Mm-hmm.
We want to come into the rest God has designed for us.
Mm-hmm.
We want to understand what it means for us to live in that oneness with God.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've come to recognize that there's a mindset shift required to do that. Now, maybe it's the logical way of where I think, or maybe it's not logical. Let me not even give myself that. But if there's a mindset shift required, something put us in another kind of mindset.
Okay. So you don't, so, this is so, the thing, so, right? You know the thing, yes.
So for me, maybe I should say, and maybe there's anybody else that identifies with me.
Yeah.
You know, who's listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who is kind of like, okay, I want to understand the perspective of me being one with God, but I still don't understand why I wasn't, what happened to make me think I was no longer one with him?
Okay. I get
so that's my target. I'm not talking about the Jew perspective. They're a prototype.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we, whether we like it or not, that prototype is what you worked with for 5 years of your life, maybe whatever amount of years it took for you to come to the point where you realize that, oh, you know, the Bible is just a story and maybe it's not particularly literal in that sense. For some people, it might take 10 years. For some people, it might take 50.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with how it takes people.
And that's okay. But that prototype, prototype is still a starting point.
Shall I tell you what I can see? I think this is the challenge a lot of people have. And Paul tried to communicate that. He said the only way to overcome the flesh is to walk in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people that what they try to do is to put the self under. They think that by putting self under, they are walking in the spirit. But actually, what you need to do is walk in the spirit. The mindset is not that you is not a criteria for you. Is that when you are in the spirit, your mind is already changed. Is what you're saying is that, oh, a mindset change is required. You don't need a mindset change is not required. Jesus is saying to you, your transformation comes by your mind being renewed. And he didn't give you the task to renew it yourself. The Holy Spirit is there to help you in that renewal. And how does he renew it? It reveals to you the truth about God. You want to know, oh, why is it then that I believed, you know, we believed a lie or we believed it? No, the thing is, know the truth and the truth sets you free from the lie. You cannot know freedom by finding out how the lie came to be. We cannot be going into, that's why a lot of people are always into like historical facts. No, the work of the Spirit is what he's doing now. The work of the Spirit comes now. Because in that sense, there is no time for it. It's the same. That's why you express it as it's the same yesterday, it's the same today, it's the same forever. There is no edification in us saying, how did we fall? The human system wants to know how did we fall so that we don't fall again, you know, so that we can learn from it and never fall again. But you know what Jesus said to you? I'm holding on to you. I'm holding on to you. I want you to trust me. I'm holding on to you. I've spoken my word in your direction. I want you to come to me and have rest. And then he's saying, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, let me give you rest. And then you're saying, how did I even become burdened in the first place? Just give him your burden. You just said it. Be transformed. Just believe what you need to believe to get into transformation. The only thing is, he said to you, your father, God is the farmer. He tends to you. He does everything for you. Just believe that. You know, in John chapter 1, he was saying, I think it's John chapter 1, he was speaking, he said that, oh, what is the whole work that God requires from us? And he says the work that he requires is that we just believe. We believe his son and we love one another. So I understand what you're saying. What I was trying to say when I started from the premise of the children of God was to establish, like, there was something inherent in man that when the wrong image of God is presented to us, it hinders us from going in. But you know, the funny thing is, he's not even asking us to come up the mountain anymore because he has come to us. But even when he's come to us, just the same way they didn't believe and they didn't enter into his rest when he calls them, we are still doing the same thing now. We are having the same, and we are propagating the same belief system, generation unto generation, telling the stories that are not true of God. The truth about God is a revelation to each and every heart. I can stay here and, you know, speak to everybody about, you know, this is who God is. This is how, you know, if you don't come into that yourself, you can never benefit from it. The only reason I speak is because I've experienced it. Why is each and everyone's testimony of God not what they have experienced of him? Why is it that your testimony of God is what people have made to believe, they've made you believe is what God's essence is? If you're going through something now, people have made you believe, oh, it comes from God. You know, this is Job saying, you know, Job and his friends talking, he gives and he takes away. This is Job and his friends saying that. How many times has someone said that to you about God? And this same Job, when he got to 42, he said, oh, I'm so sorry, because the things I believed about you, they were things I heard. Now I know you because I've experienced you. But you still believe and hold on to a belief that even Job himself dropped, that this cannot be true of God. You know, you heard that an eye for an eye, that was something they told you, that that's what God's justice looked like. An eye for an eye. Jesus came and said to you, no, in his diary is love your enemies, do good to them that curse you. Oh, then you can go in and say, oh, but I pretty much think an eye for an eye made a lot of sense. And like, that's what we're doing. We're justifying the things that do not bring life. Why is that a conversation? You know, well, that's why he said to them, just believe. Because the real challenge people were having was unbelief. Just believe.
Okay. I think that we're going to chew on this a little bit more. Let's should we call it a day for this one?
Yeah, I think we can. You know,
and then
can. Yeah.
And then we'll take off from here next week. So yeah. Guys,
tell them.
Tell them what?
I think that a lot of the time when people have conversations like this, they have it in the Bible studies. I think that if you're really a part of a great Bible study connect or something, I think it's great because you can ask all those questions. I mean, Bible study, I love when the Bible talks about the Berean Christian and how they went back and they checked if what was told them is true. I loved that. You know, it's just that what we have a lot of the time now is people want to give you principles on how to live life and everything else. But if you kind of look at the New Testament, Jesus said, nobody will have to teach the other person because they will know me personally and I will instruct them in the way that they should go. That's where God wants us to be. But perhaps maybe because of one thing or the other, there is a veil that you have on your face. And that veil is just made you put systems in place. Maybe unconsciously, like the children of Israel, when they were invited to enter the rest, maybe you are also in a position where you're saying, no, let Moses go ahead of me. God hasn't put anyone in between you. In fact, where Jesus wants us to get to is that where he is not a middleman between us and God, but we and God directly are mingling together. That's where he wanted us to get to. Still in those mindsets that we have, it gives us this kind of impression that Jesus stands between us and God. Like when God looks at me, he doesn't see me, he sees Jesus. You know, like, no, God sees you. He knows you. He wants you. He's asking you and him to come into the reality of the oneness that he's always wanted for both of you. And so maybe this week, just go away and meditate on it and chew on it and just say, how am I demonstrating unbelief? Is my real problem the problem of unbelief? Am I ignorant about the truth about God? You know, when God was first introduced to us, it was the creator. Because that's the whole point of Genesis chapter 1, the creator. But it wasn't so much about creator. It was actually for us to see that he was the force behind all things, the mind that thought about all things. But he was introduced to us as creator. As you went on, you probably see him as a covenant keeper. Why was he keeping covenant in the first place? Do you understand what I'm saying?
I get it. And I said, you know, I love how you've wrapped it up. So I don't want to take away from it. I think that, you know, the question we want to go away with today is it really just a function of our unbelief? Are we grappling with things that we don't need to be bothering about anymore? What are we doing that is causing the belief systems to continue to have such a hold on our faith walks, on our mindsets, on the state of our relationship with God? And that's what we're going to talk about next week. And we want to thank you for joining us on this conversation. It has been, for me, it's been eye-opening. I love it. I'm going to go listen to it again. So I want you to please listen. Comment. I want to hear back. We would love to hear what you guys think about this. Comment on this. Engage with us. We want you to share it with others. And let's hear what people are talking about. Mm-hmm. What are people thinking about what Mo and Ilya have just said about the kingdom of God within us? Mm. And we'll see you next week, kicking off, talking about the belief systems in the church.
Yeah.
We love you. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Right. We're continuing straight away. We have this second. I kept on showing you this. 45 minutes. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Let's go.
But then, because you're doing that, we won't be able to hit our...
I didn't look at